as I said before, I'm not going to get neurotic about whether I overshoot it a little bit one day or I'm a little under the next. I mean, that's never the goal with this. It's not to hit the perfect numbers. It's to get more consistent with being in a range. Let's go.
The most energetic, fit, and stress-resilient people on the planet practice daily habits to keep their hormones balanced, their gut healthy, and their muscles and mind strong. Welcome to That Fitness Couple. We're Mike and Corey Beth Lepowski, founders of Pure Physique.
This podcast is designed to provide you with everything we've discovered and continue to discover about nutrition, training, and lifestyle. Today, we all live hectic lives.
So we've made it our mission to make your fitness time efficient and to build you up. Hope you share and enjoy. Let's dive into today's episode. Let's go.
All right, Corey Beth. So I have a little confession to make.
I don't know whether to be excited or terrified.
After 11 years, I am going back to tracking macros.
I've noticed.
Oh, have you? Is it me opening up my Fitness Pal? I mean, who is it?
It might be the food scale left on the counter, or are you denying extra half and half in your coffee? Talk to us about this, Mike.
Well, I think that both you and I came to a decision that since we have some things coming up in the summer that we would like to be in shape for, it was time to buckle down.
Can we just say that more simply? We want to look freaking sexy this summer.
Yeah, I mean, I want to look sexy all the time, but I'm not worried about the summer. I'm just talking about dialing it in there, girl.
That's how I feel. Like, we don't have a bodybuilding show to prepare for. And we said, like, we have our anniversary coming up. How many years are we married? I don't remember.
No idea.
Me neither. I think it's like 11 years. But we want to look freaking awesome on vacation. We have a really big event down in Texas with one of our partners. I just think we want to look absolutely bomb. So
absolutely. I agree. Well, we are going to do it. And for me, it's starting with going back to tracking my macros. And I said that it's been 11 years since I've done this. I know it's been about the same for you as well. I think once we finished competition prep, we stopped with the macro counting. And that has actually been a big position for us for the past probably 11 years in terms of coaching other people that, hey, you don't need to weigh and measure your food or track every macro in order to have success. And I still believe that to be true.
Yeah.
But I also have probably come to the realization lately that in order to reach that peak of conditioning that we had 11 years ago, that there is some degree of tracking that is absolutely necessary. And it's not as if during this time we haven't encouraged some people to do that, because I think there is some value in it. Many people don't come from where we're coming from, where after years of bodybuilding, we tracked so frequently that it's very easy to eyeball, you know, a lot of times and just say that, oh, that's approximately this much. And we don't have to get neurotic about having the exact amounts of things, but being within a range.
Well, here's what's crazy. We were just like, oh, we're married 11 years and we stopped tracking 11 years ago. So like most people, we had our big goal of our wedding. We wanted to look amazing. Bodybuilding shows had been just before that. And like most people, we just threw off all the reins and threw caution to the wind after we got married. Totally kidding. We look the same today that we looked 11 years ago at our wedding, which most people can't say. And it is because that we have figured out this way that we teach clients, like how to eat in a way that doesn't require tracking. But I agree, in order to really begin to improve something, like you track and you measure what you want to improve, you know, so this has worked amazingly. And I still stand behind what we've taught clients for the last 11 years. It works. People look amazing. We have people losing, you know, 10, 20, 30 pounds, 40 pounds, and it's great. But I agree that now to chisel in the abs a bit more, chisel the arms, like really get back to that tip top condition. Yeah, we do have to be a little bit more granular. I think it's the same as like saving for, you know, your down payment on your mortgage. You don't just freeball that. You literally have to come up with the exact numbers for your closing costs and all the things that come up in that situation. So that I think it's seasonal for people. So if there's something very specific that you're getting ready to do, a big event, financially, it's buying a house or having a baby. You know, for us, it's just wanting to look really great this summer and beyond. It's a specific season that we are in right now. And so I just want to reiterate, stand behind the last 11 years and also excited to join you actually today on tracking my macros as well.
Well, there's a lot of nuance around this conversation. And that's actually why I wanted to have this conversation, because I don't want those people who are coming from that place where for a long time they followed the Weight Watchers plan and they were counting their points. And then they moved on to MyFitnessPal and started counting calories and macros. And we know where that could lead for a lot of people. Psychologically, it can become too much to be micromanaging our food all the time. And I think that there's instances where micromanaging is good. And you just brought up one of them. You know, if we're talking about our budget, it is probably good to micromanage your budget to some degree so that you know where the money's going. And especially when it's only coming in certain amounts, we want to make sure that we're not outspending what we're bringing in, right? So when it comes to budgets and maybe business metrics, micromanaging and tracking can be so useful. I think the problem is that when we start to relate some of that to food, it changes things dramatically for some people because people start feeling deprivation. They start feeling anxiety around their meals. And I know that that was another reason why we tailed off and got far away from it was not just because the shows were over, but there's a certain level of stress that comes along with that. When you're always micromanaging, can I have this? I can't eat that. And then that deprivation mindset starts to sink in. And that's the last place anybody needs to be because that brings up a whole slew of other issues, you know, not just about our associations with food, but it actually raises stress levels in our body, which then releases cortisol, which is counteracting exactly what it is that we're trying to do, especially when it comes to fat loss.
Yeah, I agree completely. So let's dive in then to, I guess for you specifically, I'm going to interview you a little bit because you're, what, 2 weeks ahead of me right now on this?
About a week, actually.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted Mother's Day to like do what I wanted to do. I enjoyed
you know what you wanted to do.
I did. I had 2 servings of brisket. Like I ate extra brisket. I went to bed with a very full belly. Did not care. I woke up a little bit full and like I'm good to go. No alcohol. Didn't need to do it. But yeah, I really, really enjoyed that brisket. So explain to us then and the listener, you know, where you are, I think, and probably one of the big realizations you had once you started putting this data. Because again, here's where I just want to position this for everybody listening. We don't need to be dramatic about this. We just want to collect data. And one of our famous lines with clients is data over drama. Like we just want to collect data. So you're right now, you've been collecting data for a week. First, tell us what is the biggest thing that you have realized about what you were doing?
First and foremost, it's knowing over thinking. And what I mean by that is oftentimes we think we know what we're taking in or how much we're taking in. We think that we are eating according to our plan. We think we're taking in the right amount of food. And if we're judging just by what's on the surface, for me personally, I look in the mirror and I'm like, hey, you're not bad, right? You're in pretty good shape. You're not what you were when you were competing, but abs are still a little visible. However, every time I've made this attempt in the past, I'm going to say a year or so, to try to turn up the dial a little bit and to get just a little bit tighter, I've not been able to do that just by simply trying to be better with my food intake. It just has not worked out. You know, even on carnivore, which I'll be the first to say that carnivore was probably the first nutrition plan that I've ever followed where without tracking or measuring anything, I mean, I was able to get into and maintain fantastic shape.
Yeah.
Where I was really happy with myself. However, as time has passed, just eating that way has not been enough. And it made me realize that I thought I've been probably eating the right amounts of foods. And for all intents and purposes, I probably have been, but I haven't been eating the right amounts with respect to trying to meet this particular goal. Mm. And now what I'm seeing is that by tracking it, I know without question how much I'm taking in each day. I know what my target is. And I know by the end of the day whether or not I am going to hit that target, whether I'm going to overshoot it or I'm going to undershoot it a little bit. And as I said before, I'm not going to get neurotic about whether I overshoot it a little bit one day or I'm a little under the next. I mean, that's never the goal with this. It's not to hit the perfect numbers. It's to get more consistent with being in a range. And we know that as long as you are fluctuating within a particular range, and not being erratic with your eating, not one day being up 500 calories and the next day down 500 calories, and then being at near no calories for several days before having a binge. That never works out well in the long term. However, if you can fall within a particular range and stay there, that level of consistency is what helps to start bring about consistent results. And now by tracking, I'm starting to see that I am within a particular range each and every day, and I know what micro adjustments I need to make in the next day or two if I want to go up or go down just a little bit.
All right, I'm going to get very personal and specific because I know people are wondering. And that is, first, what is your caloric range then each day?
Right now, I've set my caloric range at about 1,900 calories a day, which I knew for me would put me in a deficit, because after just tracking the first day, I saw that on a day in which I was actually intentional about what I was eating and was trying to eat around 2,000 calories, I overshot by about 400 calories. So okay. That day I had about 2,400 calories. And that right away opened up my eyes to all of the little things that I might be doing over the course of the day that's accumulating these additional calories that I don't want right now, as well as accumulating, you know, these additional calories from fat, which I am not reducing to extremely low levels, but I do want to reduce somewhat to help accelerate fat loss.
Let's go there for a second. You know, I tracked in MyFitnessPal for a few days with our current 6-week challenge that we're in and realized I eat about 1,900 calories a day, which for me, maybe it's a little bit high, but yeah, I'm chilling here. I feel pretty good. I would probably reduce mine also. Let me ask you then, what is your protein goal and what is your fat intake goal?
So right now, my protein goal is right around 150 grams a day. My fat intake is around 140 grams a day. And then I am consuming upwards of about 25 grams of carbohydrates a day. Now, let me just be very clear about the carbohydrate intake. I am not actively seeking out carbohydrates. Most of these carbohydrates are coming from the fat-based and protein-based foods that I'm consuming.
Such as
half and half that I'll put in my coffee.
Well, people did not know half and half had carbs in it.
I mean, that's going into my coffee, it's going into a protein shake, but I realize that I probably have close to 200 milliliters a day. And when you add that up, that's approximately 8 ounces worth of
half and half.
And that right there can account for about, I think, 24 grams of fat. But also along with that comes right around 16 grams of carbohydrates. I mean, I'm just estimating right now, but that's where a good majority of the carbohydrates are coming. So I come back to thinking versus knowing, because if you spoke to me a few months ago and you asked, well, how many carbs do you have on a daily basis? I would have told you zero, or I would have said maybe about 10, because there's some in the half and half that I'm consuming. I didn't realize until I started tracking it this past week that I'm getting about 16 to 18 grams of carbohydrates just from that one source. And then sometimes some of the foods that we have will, again, have naturally occurring carbohydrates in them. And so if MyFitnessPal is picking up on that, or we have a beef stick and it has 1 gram of carbohydrate in it, right? All of that starts to add up. So I gave myself the grace to say, hey, you can have upwards of 25 or 30 grams of carbohydrates a day, but I know that I'm not actively seeking carbohydrates.
Well, I know right now the carnivore crowd is cringing, right? Like, what? You can't have any carbs. Like, you're not allowed to do this. Can you just quickly speak to that? Because this to me seems a bit more keto than carnivore, but you are being very animal based. So would you call yourself something?
I don't like to call myself anything, first and foremost. And the reason why is that when we start putting labels on ourselves, I mean, as we know, identity plays a big role in our lives. Whatever we identify ourselves as is what we're going to start moving towards. And for me, when it comes to nutrition, I don't want to get bogged down in the details of this particular way of eating means you are this or that. To me, what's more important is the way that I'm eating consistent with my lifestyle and my goals? That is it. And I'm going to say that for those who are listening to this and are big into resistance training like we are, well, those 25 grams of carbohydrates are not going to be a detriment to your results at all. In fact, if anything, it may be somewhat beneficial because you are depleting glycogen on a regular basis when you're doing your resistance training. So that does need to be replenished. And although your body can break down and utilize protein, or convert, I should say, proteins and fats to glucose, it's a very inefficient process. So just by sprinkling in a little bit of carbohydrates each day, it's not going to be a detriment to fat loss, and yet it's only going to help in many ways with replenishing glucose that is lost during your daily activity or your workouts.
I love it. All right, let's dig a little bit deeper into your macros, and then I want to dig into the workout. So first with protein, we know that every 1 gram of protein carries 4 units of energy or calories. So at 150 grams of protein, 600 calories are coming from your protein sources, which are our amino acids, which are our building blocks of life. Then we have our two fuel sources, fat and carbohydrates, also known as ketones and glucose. Now with fat, fat's crazy. Every 1 gram of fat carries 9 units of energy or 9 calories. So eating 140 grams of fat translates to about 1260 calories coming from fat. So that's an awesome fuel source. We know that our body prefers fat as a fuel source. And then the 25 grams of carbohydrates, that also is 4 units of energy per 1 gram of carbohydrate. So that translates to 100 calories coming from carbs. And to your point, the carbs are always going to be the primary fuel source that has to get burned up first. Then we move to fat burning mode. Again, that's a big advantage of why people do so well on keto or primal or carnivore or ketovore or whatever the heck you want to call it. But let's talk about the workout, because you mentioned that. Talk to us. Is anything changing with your workout, unless you want to go to this first?
I just want to stay on that just for a moment, because in terms of where do those numbers come from? Mm. Somebody might be wondering, like, how did you come up with those particular numbers? And as I said, I knew that for me, being at around 1900 calories a day would put me in a deficit of probably, I'm going to say, between 300 and 500 calories based on how I was eating. And that is my objective right now, is it's not about what is the optimal number. It's what's going to put me in somewhat of a deficit.
So just hold on, I got to recap that. So you didn't go find your BMI or your basal metabolic rate or anything like that. You first tracked, collected data on what you were doing presently, and then moved yourself into a deficit from that.
Yes and no. I did actually calculate my basal metabolic rate, because I think it is important for people to understand what their baseline is, like how many calories does my body burn in general. And remember, this is always going to be highly individualized. And when you come up with those numbers, or you go use a BMR calculator online, it's an estimate. It's not perfect. And with that in mind, I knew that for me, my BMR is somewhere around 1500 calories a day. Now, does that mean that I want to drop down to 1500 calories a day? Like, absolutely not. Because then when you start factoring in things such as your activities of daily living, your exercise, how many calories your body burns just breaking down and utilizing food, then for me, that number was somewhere around 2,500 calories, which is pretty much what I eat on a daily basis. So if I'm eating 2,500 calories a day, regardless of the makeup, the macronutrient makeup, then that puts me at a maintenance level, which is why it had been so difficult for me to see any fat losses, because when I would try to manipulate some of these factors, what I wasn't realizing was that I would still maybe eat a little extra fat that was pushing my calories a little bit higher. Or one day I would be a little lower, but the next day I'd be right back up to where I was. So I was lacking consistency around being in a deficit. So tracking just actually allowed me to see or get a baseline of what am I taking in. So to answer your question, yes, I did look at my BMR, because I also want to make sure that I'm not eating too little. And that should be a concern for people, because what everyone wants to do when they think about fat loss is immediately drop to the lowest number of calories that they could possibly live on. And by doing that, or in essence, starving themselves, they feel like this is going to accelerate my results. However, you're not realizing that your metabolism is very sensitive. And if you're going too low for too long, then your metabolism is going to downregulate. And we want to avoid that at all costs. So it's important, yes, to be in a caloric deficit. It's also important to not be in too much of a caloric deficit. So does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that I think that's fantastic. And just for those wondering, how can they calculate their BMR? Would you just get a calculator online?
You can get a calculator online, but also I realized that in all of that talk, I totally forgot to tell you exactly how I came up with those particular numbers in terms of the macros.
Perfect. You can tell us now.
And that is, I know that I want 30% of my caloric intake to come from protein.
Why 30%?
It usually adds up to an optimal amount for maximizing your muscle recovery, as well as providing amino acids for all of your body's functions. And basically, it's not too great of an amount, but it's also more than enough of what your body would need from a protein source.
Hey, we hope you're enjoying our show and finding it valuable. If you could do us a quick favor, it would mean the world to us. Please take a moment to rate and review our podcast on your favorite platform. Your reviews help us reach more people and share our message. Plus, we'd love to hear your feedback. Thanks for being awesome and supporting us. Now, back to the show. Okay, what came next then, fat or carbs?
Fat.
Why?
And well, fat, first off, the number is going to be about 65 to 70% of calories from fat. And fat's important for a multitude of reasons. I mean, most importantly, as you already mentioned, it is a fuel source. And in the right circumstances, it is your body's preferred fuel source. But we also know that fat plays this critical role in managing our hormones. And for that reason, we want to make sure that we are consuming enough fat on a daily basis. However, going back to the energy portion of this, if you've done the math already, I'm at 95% of calories between fat and protein, which leaves me 5% from carbohydrates, which in this instance, I am not being intentional about that 5%. I know that that 5% is going to occur because of some of the dairy foods that I'm consuming. And at that low percentage, that allows my body to be in a more ketogenic type of state. And if my body is in ketosis, then that means my body is going to be utilizing that fat as a fuel source. So the goal is not to overconsume more protein than I need. It's to consume an adequate amount of protein, as well as understanding that the rest of the calories are going to have to come from somewhere. And I'd rather those calories come from fat, because if I put myself in a fat burning state, then my body's going to utilize those calories very efficiently.
Okay. I know that a lot of our listeners on this podcast are women. And so what would you say is an adequate range of protein for a woman?
I would always say that at minimum, a woman should be consuming between 100 and 110 grams of protein per day. I think that's a minimum, but the recommendations are not any different than they would be for a man. You should be shooting for 30% of your calories coming from protein. That across the board, I think is important. But if we want to get even more statistical about it, we could say that if you came up with what you believe to be your ideal body weight, you take that number and you multiply it by 0.8, and that should probably give you the minimal amount of protein that you should be consuming. And usually that winds up being an amount that is going to do a great job of supporting your lean muscle mass.
I love that. And just to clarify, ideal body weight, because we did get some questions in our group about that. It's the like pie in the sky, most amazing number that you would love to be at, not the one that you're currently at, not your first or second milestone, but like that's the number where I looked and felt absolutely amazing. And again, body composition is going to change over time, but that would be ideal. All right, let's dive then into workouts. Talk to us about what's changing and what's not.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing has changed with respect to workouts. I don't believe, and nor have I ever believed in 25 years I've been doing this, that it's necessary to dramatically change your workout routine in order to lose body fat. I know a lot of people subscribe to the idea that if you're going to put yourself in a deficit, another way to put yourself in that deficit is by exercising and burning these additional calories. However, I go back to what I'll always use as the foundation for my philosophy around exercise, which is exercise is a stress. And if we view it as a stress and we are already stressing our body because we're trying to consume less calories, and now we add additional exercise stress to the equation, this can create an environment for your body where your body tends to release more cortisol. And I do believe that this is one of the reasons why so many people struggle with fat loss in general, is because they're trying to do too much at once. I believe that if you let your nutrition do what your nutrition is supposed to do, you can be more accurate in the amount of food that you eat and find what is the right amount in which I can lose body fat, yet at the same time, I can function. And what happens is when we start layering additional activity on top of that, especially if you are just getting started, I think that is probably one of the biggest mistakes that people make, is they start layering on all of this additional activity that their body is not adapted to. And because of that increase in stress from the work that they're doing, the exercise that they're engaging in, as well as the stress from consuming less calories than their body's accustomed to, we just set ourselves up for disaster. And for that reason, I have never felt it necessary to change my workout routine. I know that my workout routine of 3 workouts a week, 30 minutes, only resistance training, provides me with everything that I could possibly ask for in terms of my fitness. Am I cardiovascularly fit? Yes. Am I strong? Yes. Do I function very well and have good mobility? Yes. Am I doing a pretty good job of preventing injury? Yes. So those are the things that I'm fixated on. Of course, also the mental health aspect of resistance training, but that's what I'm fixated on. I don't want to use exercise to start burning additional calories or try to help accelerate fat loss. I want it to do what it's designed to do. And then I want the manipulation of my nutrition to help accelerate the fat loss process. Because the more we start to layer on, the more we start to add on, I just mentioned before, it's going to increase the release of cortisol in our bodies, but it ultimately is also going to drive down our metabolic rate. I don't want that. I want my metabolism operating at the optimal level. So by resistance training, what I know to be an adequate amount, an amount that my body can tolerate and recover from every single week, that is ultimately what's going to help me not just raise, but maintain an elevated metabolic rate. And then I'm going to let the nutrition do the rest.
Yeah, I love that so much. I think that was always the biggest shock for people when we would do bodybuilding shows. They're like, oh my gosh, you guys must be working out 7 days a week, or how do your workouts change? And it was always shocking for people to realize that our workouts didn't change at all. Really, all that was changing was our nutrition. It's kind of awesome. That said, anything else that you want to share about these changes and what you're after right now?
Well, I just want to highlight that the only reason why I'm doing this right now is because I want to go from good to great, or get back to great, I'm going to say. And that is it. You know, I don't think that this is something that is necessary for the person who feels that they are content with where they're at. They're really happy with their body. They don't want to micromanage. They don't want to get to that place that many people can get to where they become manic about their food. And if you're coming from that place, then oftentimes tracking is the wrong thing to do. And there's a reason why it's been 11 years since I've tracked. I have not felt that I was ever in a good place to go back to tracking. You know, my goal was to not track ever again. And I had been very vocal about that. I will never track anything again, which also speaks how much to why we should never say never about anything, because you just never know. And I just feel like I've reached a point where now I can do it and not be manic about it, not be overly concerned that I went over one day or I'm under the next. And if this just helps me to get a better gauge of what I've been doing, then that's really what I'm after. Because I think in all of the talk that we've had around carnivore or keto or eating low carb and how we don't need to track and measure these things, what ultimately happens for everyone is that they wind up overeating in places and not realizing. And I just like being illuminated right now to, you know, there is now a light on everything that I'm doing because I'm tracking. And so often I thought I was doing the right thing, or I was, quote, on track, when really I wasn't. And I didn't know that until this past week.
Yeah, no, I think that there's so much value in that. I mean, I think we're taught to say never use the words never or forever, because God will humble you. That said, how long do you plan to do this for? And what do you foresee as your next step?
I only see myself doing this for maybe the next 6 to 8 weeks tops. Cool. I just want to get to, again, a place where I am in a good rhythm with eating the same way consistently day in and day out. And I do see myself, even if I haven't reached my goal yet, I still see myself dropping the tracking after I've just established that rhythm of, okay, if I just eat these foods each day in approximately these amounts, that's all I need to do. This is just setting me back on the proper path. And then once I'm on that path, I'm confident that I'll be able to walk it without having stop signs and direction signs, you know, every 20 or 30 feet.
No, I love that so much. I almost think it's like track to reset. Like you're just looking for a reset right now to get yourself back in that better groove. And what would you say then for someone who does want to take it to the next level? Like how long would you recommend? And I know we can't be specific because everybody's individual, but what would be your recommendation for someone who's like, yeah, I really want to dial it in right now. I got like 3 to 5 pounds, like help me.
I mean, 3 to 5 pounds, I don't know how much you really need to track for that. However, I'm going to say this, and this is the answer that nobody ever likes to hear. It really is dependent upon the individual because if it's a person who has experience in the past of tracking, then that person is very likely to get started and have a better sense of what they should be doing, how much they should be having. They may be better at eyeballing their food eventually. But for the person who's never tracked at all, I mean, this could be a really eye-opening experience because you start to realize how much is in some of the foods that you eat and how much you're actually eating versus what you think you're eating. So for a person who is doing it for the first time, I think that they require a longer period of tracking in order to get, number one, acclimated to it, but number two, build that reservoir of information and resources in their mind that they can go back to when they stop tracking. You know, the part of the reason why I feel that we were so good for so long without tracking is because of the extended periods of time that we had done it. And we became so much more cognizant of how much we were having at any one time. Whereas for somebody who's brand new, they're just not going to get it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that that period of time taught me that, like, I think it's 4 egg whites is 14.4 grams of protein, 4 ounces of chicken is 26.5 grams of protein. It's like things that you will just never forget. So what would you say then? Because what I'll say is for clients coming into the gym to or our online program, you know, oftentimes if they're really struggling with nutrition, we'll just have them do 2 or 3 days of tracking. And that in and of itself, most people lose 1 to 3 pounds because now all of a sudden they're cognizant and aware of what's going in their mouth, but it creates a lot of epiphanies and ahas for people. I can think of two literally just last week. One woman was like, oh my gosh, my diet is trash. She had no idea all the BLTs, bites, licks, and tastes that she was having. And then one woman more recently helped her to collect enough data to pinpoint why and where she was getting bloated. She was struggling with a high degree of bloat. So how long then? Would you say it's months? Would you say it's weeks for someone?
I'll also highlight one other person who, for all intents and purposes, in our minds, had the perfect diet. She laid out exactly what she was eating every single day, did not vary at all with what she was consuming, and yet was stuck for several months at the same body weight. And she still had fat to lose. So we knew that something could move on the scale. And we had her track, and all of a sudden it illuminated to her some of the inconsistencies, how much higher in fat she was than where she needed to be in order to accelerate her fat loss. So I think there are multiple scenarios where tracking can be very beneficial. As you said, the brand new person coming in, maybe only a few days just to get on track and get their mind in the right place. Then you have that person who's been stuck for a very long time. And that person may need an extended period of, say, 4 to 8 weeks of tracking until they find their rhythm. And once they find their rhythm and then they can remain on that plan, if you will, then that person is fine not tracking anymore. But then you have the person who is totally trying to dial it in, trying to hit their optimal shape. And I think more along the lines of an individual preparing for a competition, having that wedding coming up, a particular vacation, and it's way off in the distance. That's another key factor in all this, is that you don't just do this and expect immediate results.
Next week, I have an event. Can you help me?
And it does not work that way. So we always have to, first and foremost, give ourselves enough time to reach that goal. That's why I've given myself these 8 to 12 weeks to prepare, because I know that in 8 to 12 weeks, I can be where I want to be. I may even be ahead of where I want to be. And that is the ultimate goal. So I think that if we just start to examine our own lives and what we have coming up, what we want to do this for, if it's a short-term goal, then I would say that you're tracking from today until you hit that goal. If it's something that you're just trying to get yourself on the right track for the long-term, then maybe you only need a shorter amount of time, be it 4 to 6 weeks. of tracking to establish what you're going to do for the remainder of the year. And then if you're brand new, just a few days to get an idea of where you're at and what you're actually taking in. Because as you said, I think that's the biggest surprise for people is they'll say, I think I eat enough protein until they track it.
Or they say, I eat healthy until they track it.
Yeah. And so all of this is just, I think, important to just gather that data. As you started off by saying, it's all about gathering the data, not getting dramatic about it, just understanding that this is information that you can utilize to help better yourself.
Thanks for joining us today on That Fitness Couple. We've got some exciting news if you're looking to transform your fitness journey. This June 1st, we're opening 4 exclusive spots for our Pure Elite one-on-one coaching program, and one of these will be offered as a full scholarship. Imagine 3 months of direct one-on-one coaching with us, Mike and Corey Beth. You'll receive personalized workouts, tailored nutrition plans, and continuous support, all designed to achieve your unique fitness goals. We're not just your coaches, we're your partners in this journey every step of the way. Are you all in? Ready to invest in yourself and see real results? If so, apply now. These 4 spots are your opportunity to get the personalized attention you've been looking for. Check the link in our show notes to apply. And remember, spaces are incredibly limited. We're looking for participants who are committed to real, lasting change. Go apply today and let's start this transformative journey together. Stay strong and inspired, and we'll catch you in the next episode.
Say that again, sorry, Cappy, hold on.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
Let me rephrase that.